All right. Good morning, everyone, and namaste. Again, my name is Lilage Singh. I'm originally from Nepal. I have lived in Washington State for the last 16 years, and where I call home, this is the place I have lived for that long. And Nepal is between Tibet, China, and India. It's a small country with the Mount Everest, size of Tennessee, but we have a 30 plus million people who live there. And it's also one of the poorest country in the world, and tourism is the main source of our income. Before I start sharing, I would like to acknowledge Skagit Unitarian Universal Fellowship. I had to memorize last night. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Kathleen and Sally. And I can't not say Jeannie Darvell, who introduced me to your church. Don't believe her. She tend to talk more than, she tend to give me a more credit than I deserve. I appreciate, but you know, don't have a high expectation, but I'll try my best. Anyway, so human trafficking, as you saw, there are lots of causes, and I'm just going to highlight a few of them. The main cause is the value, the status, low status of women in Nepal. When girl child is born in the family, her identity status is depend on her father. After she marry her husband, and when she becomes a widow or single, her son. Without a man, women doesn't have any status. Or I'm not saying that continues, it's changing, but that's the core value comes from. Another is equal access to resource and education. The belief system that we have in Nepal, if you invest in a girl, because education isn't free in Nepal, you have to pay. So if you invest in a girl, one day she will marry, become a part of another family, so they would rather invest in a boy child because he will continue to carry the name of the family and inheritance of the family, so they would always invest in a boy than a girl child. And many times that makes them vulnerable to a human trafficking. And another is 50% or more unemployment rate. As you can imagine in a pandemic, how we're struggling, nothing compared to that. I'm not saying it's not a problem, but at the same time, due to a high unemployment rate, many men and women, even children and girls, have to leave the country to survive. And they are mostly taken to India and Middle East and another neighboring country. My work in this journey been 20 years. I know I still look 20 years old, I think. So yes, I started when, that was in 2001. It's been 20 years. Before I share, I would like to tell you the story of one girl. A girl who was born in a slum of Hetauda, Nepal, close to Indian border. She was abandoned by her both parents. She was raised by her grandmother, who was a widow, had her own 10 children, and that child became her 11th child. She was deprived from her basic need, such as food, shelter, education, and also she experienced child labor, gender discrimination, and sexual abuse. And that child is me. Day when I think of those days, it feels like it's my past life. Difficult to recognize, but it's very important for me to remember that continued to mold me, humble me, and who I am today. I still remember in our family, me and my grandmother, we were living with one of our middle uncle. And he had already two girls. And my auntie was expecting a third child. All of us were praying, hoping that child would be a boy. Then we didn't have a technology to reveal the gender, so we had to wait. That child was born, and it happened to be a girl. And I hear the noise. My grandmother was sobbing and crying as a child. I went behind the door. There was a small hole, and I was looking at her. I was just scared to go nearby her, and I watched her, and she was crying. And the thought in my head is like, wow, she could have cried when I was born. She hated me. She didn't like me. And she doesn't like girls. At the same time, as a child, it didn't make sense. I don't have the name of the emotion that I was feeling. At the same time, I sat behind the door watching my grandmother. You know, one day, I'm going to make this old lady, because I was angry. Whenever I was angry, I called her booty. That means old lady. And so I said, you know, one day I'm going to make this old lady proud, even if I'm a girl. And I kind of vowed in my heart, I'm not going to be less than any other human being based on my gender. And I wish I could show a picture of my grandmother, but I don't have that here. So we were poor. We didn't have money. I could not afford to go to a school. It cost money, and my grandmother could not send us to school. So every morning, I would call or my friend. We would call each other name, gather on an empty lot to play. And during the day, rich people would pass by to take our children, whoever they wanted. Then we thought it was a, you know, life away from slum or get away from poverty or a dream of having a good life. And we were poor and hungry. We would sometimes steal neighbor's fruit. We would eat and we would play. One of my friends, Kali Maya, who was just like me. We both were abandoned by our parents. She was raised by her auntie, and I was raised by my grandmother. And we used to make mud pie, make dolls by the scraps of cloth. That was our toy. We didn't have any stuffed animals, nothing, so we would make our own. One morning, when I called, Kali Maya did not respond. So I went running to Kali Maya home. I said to my other friend, just stay here, play, because she didn't come. She was the one to always first to respond my call. I'm going to bring her. I go running to her home, and I ask her auntie where Kali Maya was. And her auntie says, well, she left with a rich man to get an education and better life, and she didn't want it to answer me more. She said, go away. You know, I don't know. And so that broke my heart. I felt very sad. At the same time, I also felt mad. How could she leave me behind to have a better life for herself and education? I thought we were a good friend. But she left me behind. I felt abandoned by her, and I was upset. That loss affected me deeply. Then I couldn't go to a play for a few days. Then again, it became a common. I would go, play, and I wouldn't see my friends. I did not know what was happening. That was just a normal. And I was waiting for my turn to come. And when my turn came, one of my auntie took me. I was fortunate how it was taken by my auntie. She took me to care for her children. And I exchanged. I was 12. I wanted to go to school, so she was able to send me. And in exchange, I provided her childcare. That's how I started my education journey. In Nepal, no matter how old you are, you start from the beginning. I remember very first time going to the classroom. We all wore uniform. blue uniform, blue skirt, white shirt. We all look the same, no poor, no rich. And so I walk in the classroom with my backpack. And as I walk in, everyone was looking at me and laughing and mocking. And I didn't understand. And then I look around at my classroom. I found out I was the oldest one in the class, but I didn't care. I really wanted to get my education. I didn't have money. I remember many times going to the school and trying to admit myself, ask their help, and I'm being pushed out. And today I hold my master's degree. And I would love to pursue my PhD in the future, but I'm not sure how. As an adult, I began to have a nightmare about my playmates, my friends. I had the opportunity to go to a college in India, Bangalore. As I was researching, that was the first paper I wanted to know where all these Nepali women and girls and my playmates and friends were taken. I started to research, collect books. And through my research, I discovered the ugliness of human trafficking. And my eyes were open. I found out what happened to all my playmates, friends, and Nepali women and children. And after that, I felt like I could not breathe. I was just stunned and very upset, but I didn't know what to do. And I just started to learn more. Sometimes I would just kind of not think, but then I would have a dream and nightmare. And I remember, especially one time, as I was reading book, the voice, I say, God, many of you might call conscience or universe. I hear a voice as I'm reading a book about human trafficking. And it wasn't in the book. It says, you could have been one of them, but you were saved, spared for the region. And I'm like, oh, you know, that's just me. And I avoided and I avoided because I didn't know how I was going to be involved. I was in abusive marriage. I had two children that were under age of two. And this work, I'm being called to. This is not possible. And I tried to ignore many times, took me a whole year, and I tried to avoid, but it didn't go away. And I had to say yes. And basically praying and in my knee and like, I don't know how this journey going to look like, but yes, I'm going to say yes to my part. And I would like to encourage you, if you ever have felt like you wanted to do something, you know, you have a purpose, you have a calling, but if you don't have a details, and sometimes we have a fear and our circumstances doesn't allow, doesn't seem to be anything, but I truly believe when you say yes to doing your part, it unfolds. And I'm not saying it's easy. You know, if I knew, probably I wouldn't have said yes. But I'm glad I did, because many life I can count and share their stories, their life have been changed. And so needs are significant. As you saw in a video, every year, 12,000 to 15,000 girls are trafficked to India, neighboring country. And more than 250,000 girls in a sex slave in India because prostitution is legal there. And how we are addressing, as Kathleen said, we have four programs that we try to combat human trafficking in Nepal. Definitely in 2018, my lifelong dream came true. The safe home that I wanted to build for those children, because I know not to have a home, your basic need, opportunity for education, it's not okay. That is just not a privilege. That is just a basic need for a child. And that became true in 2018. We built five-story safe home. Ginny Darvell have visited. I think it was still building. She didn't see the finished building. So now we can house 50 to 60 women and children there. And we can meet their basic need, such like a food, their education, and shelter. And if they are 18 and older, we provide vocational training, give them a basic skills to how to survive and maintain their life in the country. We raise awareness. We go to a small community, a villages. We provide them, you know, how to spot red flag and how that behave. In that way, many girls and women have come to us and even reported the scheme of human trafficking, and they were saved. And I believe education is a very important part of life.
So anyway, I was saying once they come back, you know, it's considered what they experienced is their karma. So their family does not accept and or their society, so they have nowhere to go. Then we have a safe home where they can come and stay and they have family shelter. And now we have a second home that was closed by our first home. And we are going to have a two different program, one for the under 18 and another for older 18 and older. Yeah, and so there are a different way. Feel free to go to our website, www.friendsofwpcnepal.org. And also in every March, Women's International Day, a week, I take a group of people who wants to come and I give them a visit. They can meet their children if they are sponsoring and also give them the experience of cultural experience. That's the basic things we are doing. And so I'm planning to go there in March. I purchased my ticket already and hoping everything will be okay and I'll get my vaccine. Yeah. So thank you for, again, this opportunity. Sorry for the technology error. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask.